You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm not cutting you off, but I do want to, are you a paid campaign surrogate? Are you being compensated?
Never received. Let me be clear. You get paid to shape a liberal narrative. You get paid to attack this president.
It's
I don't
a simple
get a
question.
Dime for this president. I don't get a dime from the campaign.
July the 30th, 2020, that is Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones saying, I don't get a dime from the Trump campaign. I'm doing it because I'm putting the nation ahead of my party. He was being interviewed on MSNBC by a black anchor, and that black anchor said, come on, suggesting you must be getting paid to be a Trump supporter. The attacks on black Americans who want to think for themselves, whether or not they want to support Trump, Biden, anyone else, they're not allowed to think for themselves if they're not going to support Biden and the mob, period. And they will be called out, slandered, accused of being bought off, paid, simply because they're thinking for themselves, especially if they're supporting Trump. I wonder what the reaction is going to be when word begins to rapidly accelerate that a major figure in Hollywood, a black figure in Hollywood, says, I'll have that story a little bit later for you. But again, that's another black American thinking for himself. Every American should think for themselves. You listen to this program, you listen to others. I suggest you get as much information as you can, as many different opinions, but you have your own opinion. You may agree with me a lot, maybe none, but you're thinking for yourself. That's all we need to ask of any American. But the attacks on blacks continues to ramp up, and that allegiance, and that allegiance of the opposition, the resist movement, always attacking black Americans because they support Trump might be an explanation of why a black man was killed in Wisconsin. We're going to get into that story in more detail. Also, a black conservative journalist stabbed during the Portland protest. Was that because he's black, because he's conservative, or just happened to be in the fog of the protest? And I change that word protest. It's not a protest. It's a riot. I told you the other day I'm going to stop using the word protest. If there's anything that involves arson, attacks on police, civilians, any kind of property, it's a riot. Well, of course, the feds are beginning to phase out. They say they will begin to stand down from the federal courthouse in Portland as Oregon State Police arrive and take their position. They say we're going to do it in steps to make sure the courthouse will be protected. But the Oregon governor is already, yeah, look what we're doing. We're getting rid of the occupying federal force. The federal agents were not occupying her state. They were standing guard around a federal facility. The woman needs to get a lesson from Poland, Bosnia, other countries where they have been occupied. And will the violence stop when it's just state police there and the feds are going? Really? There's still violence, riots in cities and states where no federal forces are involved. The mob wants total chaos, anarchy. James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, is going to join us later. And he says this violence in Portland, Seattle, and other places, it's clearly organized. It's not just protesters who suddenly become violent. They are organized. And what else do we need more in this country? More lawyers. I got a lot of lawyer friends. But do we need more lawyers, especially those who couldn't pass the bar unless you lower the bar standards? We've already seen numerous efforts around the nation when it comes to college entrance exams. You got to lower the entrance exams so more minorities and those who did not get proper schooling and so forth have a chance. there may be some justification in some areas, but now when you're going through law school in California, they're proposing, you know what, let's lower the standards of the bar so more minorities can become attorneys. What does that say about those who work their butt off as a minority, who work their butt off to get through law school and earn that degree and that bar association accreditation, that now, well, we're going to make it easier for the others? Also, Herman Cain dead today after a battle. He'd been a stage 4 colon cancer survivor. He caught coronavirus back in July 1. Cain, 74, certainly vulnerable, and he's dead because they say a coronavirus, but he was already in stage 4 cancer. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
He's clearly targeted cities run by Democratic mayors. He said so himself. He's using law enforcement as a political tool. I hate to say it, Aaron, but I really believe that we are seeing the dry run for martial law. This is a president that is using law enforcement and federal forces for political purposes, and that should be chilling to every American.
That's the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin, saying that Trump is using federal forces in Democrat-controlled cities as a dry run to begin martial federal law. Well, the Seattle Police Guild president says, I'll tell you what was a dry run, and Mayor Durkin participated in it. I'll get to that part of the story in a moment. But that's a nonsensical statement anyway. The federal courthouse is under siege. Seattle police, when Seattle was under siege and they started the Chaz Chop Zone, the police were ordered out of the area. And yes, Trump did say, reference Seattle, Chicago, Portland, all these other cities, if you cannot control this, if you cannot stop this rioting, or you won't, or you handcuff your police where they can't do their job, then we will come in and do it to protect the citizens. And of course, in Seattle, they were pushing far, and the mayor was signed on to defunding the police. Well, that's beginning to retreat. The city police union said it's collected 20,000 signatures on a stop defunding petition. The city council voted to start defunding the police. They're looking at cutting it by 50%. They say that's the only way we can repair race relations in the city following years of excessive force against minorities and other claims of mistreatment. And they think their city will be safer. And yes, Seattle, along with Portland, Oregon, Chicago, and others took criticism from Trump, who portrayed these Democrat leaders, these blue leaders in blue cities and blue states and governors, enabling rioting and destruction rather than helping law enforcement dedicated to public safety. We had another night last night in Portland around the courthouse. Yeah, again last night, 62nd consecutive night. This was after the word came late yesterday the feds would begin to draw down on their forces as Oregon State Police would replace them. That's taking place today. But last night, the rioters, not protesters, the rioters again attacked the courthouse and those standing around it. And, of course, the Oregon governor now says, we got this deal, we got this deal, we're going to have these folks leave. They're going to, and she's talking about the federal agents. And she also says, we're getting rid of them. And she said, basically, this has been an occupying force as well. An occupying force. And we're getting them to leave. The acting Homeland Security Secretary, Chad Wolf, says, we were not an occupying force.
Absolutely not, particularly the statement about an occupying force. What we know is that the violence in Portland specifically was there well before DHS law enforcement officials arrived in Portland. The mayor, by his own words and own statements, declared that the city was under violence for more than a month before we got there. So this idea that we have somehow incited violence, the idea that enforcing federal law incites violence, is absolutely backwards, and I don't understand that.
It is backwards, and I know he doesn't understand it, and yet we understand. We know exactly what they're doing. They're politicizing riots, and they're backing them up. They're supporting them. Keep in mind, in the midst around this siege around the Portland courthouse, we've had these groups show up with everything from slingshots, ball bearings, commercial explosives, firing them into the officers and into the building if they can. Canisters and bottles filled with either frozen ice or urine or spray and bleaching urine on the officers. And the city, by the way, said this week it's going to start fining the federal government $500 for every 15 minutes that it has a fencing outside the courthouse. Yes, I'm serious. The city of Portland started fining the government $500 for every 15 minutes because it put fencing around the outside of the courthouse to try to keep the rioters from getting any closer. And at last report, the fine is now approaching $200,000 and the clock's ticking. The acting Homeland Security Secretary, Chad Wolf, says, look, when we first went in, when we started this operation to protect our courthouse, we were asking the locals to help us.
What we have been asking for, and we've been very specific, we need state or local law enforcement to step up and help us police the streets and the other areas around that courthouse and to hold individuals accountable. So Governor Brown has decided to step up. We see a sizable force of Oregon State Police that will be deployed to the area. And we'll see if the plan that they have put in place will help quell the violence that we see around that federal courthouse in Portland.
Yeah, but again, while the governor has signed off on sending state police in, she's doing it in the sense of a political victory for her, saying, I'm getting the federal agents to leave. Well, if they'd sent state police in the beginning to help, as you just heard, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf say, we were asking for support. If they'd done that in the beginning, we wouldn't be to this point. Last night, 62 straight nights. And the violence again did start before federal agents ever showed up. So what will happen tonight? And at what point, how many agents will we see leave of some 200 that are stationed at that facility now? How many of them will leave? How many Oregon State Police will come in? And will the Oregon State Police, since this is going to be a changeover, do you think the Oregon State Police might just show up in, you know, regular uniforms, no SWAT or gear and head protection and body armor, just to stand there like, you know, they're walking a beat and nothing more. Do you think they would do that? I certainly hope the hell they don't, because they will be attacked. And I don't want them to suffer. But I don't know what kind of leadership they're going to get once they get in. I like to think that the Oregon State Police leadership will make sure the men and women assigned to help protect the courthouse will indeed have their own adequate protection and resources. But for the governor and the Portland mayor, both blue Democrats, for them just getting the federal agents out, that's a victory. They don't really care what happens next, I will guarantee you. So, will the federal agents simply say, okay, you take my place, I'm leaving, we're out of here? Is that the way it's going to go down? Question to Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf.
We're going to take a cautious view of that. We're going to keep our law enforcement officers in place to make sure until we are assured that the violence against that courthouse has stopped. And so we'll take that day by day until we are comfortable that the plan in place is going to work, that they have partnered with us successfully. And when we do, we'll continue to look at our force posture there in Portland, as we do across the country, at all of the facilities that FPS protects. And then only then will we make decisions.
Good. That's the way it should be done. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong in what I'm getting ready to say. But I think tonight, even if you have state police intermingled with the federal agents or even standing in front of them, the rioting will continue. Do not call them protesters. They're not protesters anymore. I'll agree to the term protest if they're exercising constitutional First Amendment rights of free speech and peaceful assembly. When they turn to assaulting police agents, be they federal, state, or local, citizens, arson, looting, damaging property, is no longer a protest. It's a riot. And when it comes to protecting federal facilities, Mark Morgan, who's the Chief Operating Officer, Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, says the federal government, you shouldn't have to be told this, but let's reemphasize it for some who don't get it, has authority, and in the case of protecting federal property and agents, is required by statute to enforce federal law and quell violence in cities across America. Now, Morgan, again, Chief Operating Officer, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, says, what's going on in Portland is very narrow, meaning that our presence there is because of the attack on the courthouse. They did not go on and go in until the Mark O. Hatfield Federal Courthouse came under protection. And they put up barricades and they put up fencing. And the anarchists started breaking through and tearing it down. And on top of that, the city begins to fine them $500 every 15 minutes they got the fencing up. He said the plan was, the objective was, that the federal officers stay inside the building or around the building unless a crime is committed. He said, we're not patrolling the streets of Portland, never have been, but when we're there and we see a crime go down and we see someone leaving the scene, we will investigate and make an arrest. And yes, they have been going out, picking up people off the street, questioning them, putting them in cars, and oh, here come the leftists. It's an unmarked car. We don't know where they're taking them. They're unmarked cars because you know if you mark them with Border Patrol or ICE or even police, they will be attacked. Harming, threatening the agents inside, in addition to whoever they picked up for questioning. But again, the governor, in saying we're going to take these folks out of here, her statement. Here's her statement. After my discussions with Vice President Pence and others, the federal government has agreed to withdraw federal officers from Portland. They have acted as an occupying force and brought violence. That's not true. She added, starting tomorrow, that would be today, all Customs and Border Protection and ICE officers will leave downtown Portland. That's also not true, as you just heard They're not going to leave until in phases. And let's go back to how we began this segment. The mayor of Seattle, who was talking about what Trump is doing, is a dry run to set up martial law. Well, listen to this remark from the Police Officer Guild, Mike Solon in Seattle.
Clearly what the dry run for Seattle was the Chaz Chop experience where multiple people were shot and killed. And then now I ask for support from any local, state, or federal law enforcement entity to help us in Seattle, because we almost lost the ability to have less lethal tools that are effective in holding a riotous mob back. Trace, if we lost that tool, we would have lost a precinct over this past weekend. And the evidence is 60 cops were hurt by improvised explosive devices, projectiles, wood, frozen water bottles, metal. So to deny any type of assistance from any law enforcement entity to me is unconscionable. And I have yet to hear one elected official show concern for the officers that were hurt this past weekend.
Again, that's Mike Solon, the Seattle Police Officers Guild president. He talked about those officers being hurt. And he said the dry run was when Chaz, they occupied that area and said, let's see if we can control it. That was their dry run. And the other point he made, I want to hone in on. I want to focus on. Not one word from any Democrat leadership of sympathy and offering of support for officers injured in the line of duty. Not one. We will continue after this break.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Not one elected official has shown concern for any of the officers that were hurt. Major injuries. And I've yet to hear anybody say that that is unreasonable activism. It's criminal behavior on behalf of the fringe group of anarchists that are pushing a political agenda, and cops are in the crosshairs.
Cops are in the crosshairs. I don't care if they city, state, county, or federal. They're in the crosshairs. And the leftists, the Dems, continue to acquiesce and give them their blessings. They're certainly not condemning them, and he's absolutely right. That again, Mike Solon, the Seattle Police Officers Guild president, saying not one politician, Democrat politician, in Seattle, and for that matter, Portland or anywhere else, has stepped up and said, you know, this is a shame what's happening to our police officers or our federal officers. Not one. You don't even see it on the national level with U.S. senators who are Democrats or congressmen and women who are Democrats. You don't see, have you seen any one of them, come forward and say, I don't agree with maybe what Trump's doing and so forth, but these men and women are assigned that duty and this is wrong. They are there to do and carry out a mission, and they're being attacked on a continuous basis. And they know what kind of weapons are being, we've already talked about it. We told you the other day that in Atlanta, they found some explosives to be used against the ICE headquarters. Explosives, commercial-type explosives, fireworks primarily, but they'd been repackaged to be more violent and packaged with nails. The nails not to start another fire, not to start just damage, but to maim and maybe kill someone. And in Seattle, the things they found around Seattle, again, explosives, baseball bats, all handed out at some of these protests. In one of the cases in Seattle, when they had that Capitol Hill neighborhood underway, construction trailers were set on fire, cars damaged, and so forth. At one point, a van started entering the area, parking in front of the police building at that time. Explosions occurring outside the precinct. Individuals throwing other explosives at officers. All of that was in Seattle. And then look what's happening in Portland. 62 straight nights, the same thing. They come armed with every kind of weapon. They come armed and better protected in some cases than our SWAT teams. do you see, have you seen one, give me one Democrat of standing that has denounced this and condemned it? By their silence, they are accepting. Rioters back in Richmond, Virginia, earlier when all of some of this began, some of the rioters in Richmond set a home on fire. There was a child still inside that home. Firefighters could not get to the home to put out the fire. Rioters used vehicles to block firefighters from reaching the home until it was too late. The police chief at the time, when he's trying to tell the story about it, he breaks down, and for 40, 45 seconds, he can't talk, which is understandable. That police chief has since been fired because he's a white officer and they replaced him. The black mayor of Richmond said, we need a black police chief to make things better. It still didn't bring back that child. We're going to take a break. We'll be joined by James Carafano, who will tell you in no uncertain terms what you're seeing in Seattle and Portland. These are organized mobs.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I've been holding so long, I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
James Carafano with the Heritage Foundation wrote a piece the other day, an opinion piece, published on FoxNews.com. The headline says exactly what I want to get to in details, and the headline reads, in Portland, Seattle, Homeland Security is facing organized criminal activity. We've been telling you over and over, this is not just grassroots suddenly protesters becoming rioters. These folks come for a riot in the beginning. James Carafano joining us now. Welcome aboard again, Jim.
Hey, good to be with you. I'm trying to do this on the back of the bus, so...
You're in the back of a bus?
I'm sorry, bud.
Did you not pay your fare or what?
It's a long story.
Okay. So, again, we've been pointing this out. All of this stuff is not spontaneous actions happening in Portland, Seattle.
That's right. So what happens is, and this is a pattern that's been going on for many days, long before the federal guys deployed there, which is they protest during the day, and then about midnight, between midnight and 5 a.m., organized rioters come out. They come out fully armed, and they attack the federal court building, trying to lure federal law and officers to come out so they can then injure them. And the reason why the federal law officers were sent to Portland, and they were sent long after the violence started, was because there's only a handful of federal officers in Portland to defend federal property. And so these guys went there specifically just to defend federal property. And this is actually the only city in the country where they've done this. So they're not an occupying force. They're not going after people. They're literally just there to protect the building. Over 240 federal officers have been injured trying to protect the building. And they've made 90 arrests. What's interesting is every one of these arrests are somebody that was caught either attacking the building or attacking federal law enforcement officers.
Well, of course, now supposedly the governor of Oregon has said, well, we will send in Georgia State Police, and the Chad Wolf of the Federal Service says we will, Homeland Security says we will gradually phase out until we see exactly how they're going to take over the protection of our federal facility. But the governor is suddenly crowing about, saying, after my discussion with Vice President Pence and others, federal government agreeing to withdraw federal officers. They have acted as an occupying force and brought the violence.
Yeah, so that's a lie. They haven't occupied anything other than protecting a federal courthouse, and the violence started before they got there. So the governor just lied. And the reason why these attacks can happen is because in the streets and parks and areas which belong to the city surrounding the courthouse, that's where they organize these attacks. And the city has specifically not done anything. And so what the governor agreed to do is, hey, we will actually police the city, the streets around the courthouse, which is actually their legal obligation to do.
Which it should have been
and
doing.
And if that happens, if they do that, then the rioters won't be able to launch attacks on the building, and the federal officers won't be needed. And then the federal government said, okay, if you do that, the attacks will stop. And when the attacks stop, then we'll take our officers out because there's no need for them. And the governor's tweet was incredibly disingenuous.
Oh, absolutely. And in Portland itself, because the feds put up a fence at building a perimeter around the area to try to keep some distance from them getting too close to the building, and the city of Portland is fining the federal government $500 every 15 minutes of fence is up. That's approaching $200,000 now. They're trying to keep folks from getting close to start that kind of violence. And the city is condemning them for putting up a barricade.
Well, this is a really important point, which is the federal deployments are designed to protect federal officers, protect property, and limit the opportunity for violence. What the city has done is actually create the conditions for more violence and to get people hurt. And let's be honest, the reason why they're doing this in Portland is because Portland has created a permissive and violent environment where they can organize criminal activity and get away with it. So really the ultimate fault here lies with the officials of the city of Portland. If you remember just a few weeks ago, Antifa and BLM and everything, they were attacking statues all around the country. Well, the reason why that stopped was because the federal government formed a task force and they went out and they arrested people that were doing this and are with the threat of very heavy fines and long prison terms. And they said, okay, we got to stop that because that tactic isn't working anymore. So then they would decide, well, let's start attacking federal property. And they said, where are there cities that will let us do that and get away with it? And Portland basically said, yeah, we'll let you destroy the federal government.
And let's look at that point, too, because in Seattle, the Chaz Chop Zone, the mayor of Seattle is now saying that, listen, Trump was wanting to use federal forces. This is a dry run to put martial forces and troops across our nation. That's why they're in Portland and why they wanted to come in Seattle.
Right. So the reason why they sent law enforcement to Seattle is they had a very specific threat against federal property in Seattle. That threat did not materialize. And when it did not materialize, they took the federal officers out because they weren't needed. Look, if you take every federal law enforcement agent in the country, that is not much more than the size of the police force in New York City. So the notion that somehow if the federal government wanted to, they could send police officers all over the country to control, that's ludicrous. I mean, that is another fundamentally a lie. This is not a dry run for anything.
You know,
this is not a dry run for how we're going to protect federal property from organized crime. And the reason why I keep using the term organized crime is if you can prove that it is organized crime, organizing the crime in itself is a crime. It is a criminal conspiracy to conduct crime. And that is a very serious offense and a very, very serious threat.
And I hope
that is very different than rioting and looting and, you know, spontaneous attack.
And to that extent, you know, they're complaining that federal agents are monitoring cell phones and text traffic and a violation. Well, if you're investigating organized crime, you have a right to get into all of that. I mean, that's simple RICO material, if nothing else.
Yeah. Everything that they're complaining about is standard law enforcement practice. There's nothing that the federal law enforcement are doing in DHS or other organizations that is not standard law enforcement practice. So if you don't like that, it means that, well, you don't like how we catch the mafia and street criminals and murderers and rapists.
And Jim, the other thing, these folks, and I said the other day, this audience, I'm no longer going to use the name protesters. They'll be protesters if they're under First Amendment peaceful assembly and First Amendment speech. But when they start assaulting officers, causing damage and attacks on citizens, they are rioters from that point forward. They come armed with crowbars, chainsaws, commercial fireworks, some loaded with nails, laser pointers. They weren't, quote, protesters at any point.
Well, I would say something more strongly. This is an organized criminal militia.
I love it. Yeah, I agree. And to that extent, where the hell has any leftist, any Democrat of standing come out and condemned it and supported the law enforcement and said, I'm sorry our law officers are being treated and attacked like this? Has anyone done that?
Yeah, no government official at the federal, state, or local level, and no legislator should in any way excuse or condone what essentially is organized criminal violence directed against the U.S. government. Nobody should do that. It's just wrong.
Jim, as always,
if you do it, you're wrong.
Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to cut
no,
you.
No, if you say that, you're wrong.
Yeah, I agree fully. And when they're silent, they're giving permission. You agree?
But they're not silent. I mean,
when they're not saying we feel for the officers, we need to stop hurting. You know, they won't do that. Anything they do that doesn't condemn, I think condones what's happening.
No, what they're actually doing is they're repeating the talking points that are put out by these organized organizations. They're essentially putting out propaganda to delegitimize law enforcement and then make this appear to be a partisan political squabble as opposed to what it is, which is cover for organized violence. And the simple thing here is that government officials are not, and legislators are not being cited, essentially. They're repeating propaganda, just like if they were repeating Chinese or Russian propaganda aimed at the United States.
All right, Jim, I appreciate your time. I hope you didn't miss your bus stop while we were talking, but I appreciate you joining us.
All right, my friend. Thanks for having me.
You bet. James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation. And again, in his article, opinion piece he did for Fox News, he did point out, again, this organized crime thing. He said the partnership that took place between the government and federal and state and local officials was the kind of thing that they did, one, obviously, against the mafia and other organized crime syndicates, but also the KKK. So what they're doing now, if they're investigating, prosecuting, disrupting organized efforts, conspiracies, and so forth, they have every right to check on phone content, text messaging, things of this nature, which we know are being used extensively by these rioters to gather, what to bring, when to show up, what position to take. There's no doubt. It's not just, kids wanting something to do on a Saturday night. So with that in mind, you know, the mayor of Chicago says, we don't need any federal agents here. We know what to do in our city. Really? Really? Well, they are taking some additional steps. Finally, stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Well, I got my first first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We can't just allow anyone to come into Chicago, play police in our streets, in our neighborhoods, when they don't know the first thing about our city.
That is Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. And she's talking about when Trump was saying, we'll send in federal agents if we need to make sure you don't have the violence in your streets that we've been seeing. And she says, we can't have them coming in playing police. They're not playing police. They are police, lady. And if you're not doing the job you need to for your citizens, the citizens deserve better than what you're doing for them. Another blue mayor in a blue state, basically trying to control the narrative and make it look like with Trump's involved, it's got to be bad. And then later she turned around and said, well, okay, well, let's talk about how they'll come in and under what provisions. And you know what else they're now doing? They, of course, continue to have violence in Chicago. And some of the most recent incidents, we hear the shootings all the time, but now they've had a stabbing, a carjacking, an injury to a security guard hit in the head. This all taking place in the nation's third largest city. All of that taking place, I just described, in the downtown area. Wednesday, a group of people using those city bike-sharing bikes you see around, they surrounded an 82-year-old driver to carjack his car near the Navy Pier. And then three security guards hospitalized, one with a fractured skull because they tried to enter a party that was being broken up. And a second ward alderman in Chicago said, right now you have people that believe they can do anything downtown without any fear they will be arrested or face any consequences at all. So they finally said, okay, we need to do something. We need to do something. And so while they're trying to decide about that, here came U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, trying to become Joe Biden's running mate. She's also joined the mayor in deriding any plan by Trump to send federal agents to help quell violence, claiming it's a political stunt. So you would rather claim a political stunt as opposed to protecting your citizens. And Duckworth says you cannot come in and politicize government in a way that attacks Americans peacefully, exercising their First Amendment rights. Senator Duckworth, what about your citizens of Chicago exercising their First Amendment rights of just living in this country, not causing anyone harm, and then they're attacked by gangs, even in the downtown district? So the Chicago mayor, who initially resisted, said, okay, we'll bring them in to help investigate crimes rather than confront rioters. And now they've decided to put an additional 200 police officers deployed downtown Chicago for downtown patrols. 200 officers now on the streets of downtown Chicago because of crime in the downtown district. They're worried about tourism, obviously. Not too many people are moving around with the COVID and everything, but they also can't have that happen on a continuous basis. They got to do something. We know what happens in any cities where there's violence and you end up with rioting and buildings and so forth are destroyed. You saw it in Seattle. You got Seattle business owners suing the city of Seattle for not protecting them. You saw it in Ferguson. Businesses burned out during the Michael Brown case. Some of them came back. Some won't. Some never will. In Chicago, Pastor Brooks, Corey Brooks, who is the pastor of the New Beginnings Church, he says, yeah, it's clear. There may be some areas that are deemed unsafe by businesses, and if they've been in there once and then they suffer at the hands of rioters or vandalism or gangs, they're not likely to come back. He understands that.
It's hard to make investments in areas where the crime is high, where your insurance is going to be high, the property taxes are going to be higher, things are going to be higher. It's very difficult. In our neighborhood, we saw Walgreens pull out, we saw McDonald's pull out, and it's very unfortunate because when these individuals pull out, it gives opportunity for individuals not to be able to make a living to take care of their families, thus turning to violence, thus turning to crime, and keeping the vicious cycle of violence going on over and over. My hope and goal is that corporations will see the need to invest in other things besides Black Lives Matter and see that there are communities that are working like ours where they need to make investments and get people up and working and taking care of their families. Those are the type of things that need to happen in communities that we have.
Yeah, not just put BLM on your brand label and say, we've done our job. Put the money back into the community. And speaking of BLM, Pastor Brooks and his organization, New Beginnings Church, they've been working with gang members, meeting with them, trying to stop various looting and so forth. And he was asked, and you're doing this? He said, where are Jesse Jackson's, Al Sharpton, and Black Lives Matter? Are they helping you do this?
Unfortunately, we haven't heard from any of those individuals, but thankfully, we have organizations like Project Hood that are willing to do the work and step in and do the things that others aren't doing. That's the reason why in our area, why murders and shootings are going up all over across Chicago, the area where we work and minister, they're going down. And that's because of we're not waiting on Al Sharpton or Black Lives Matter or anyone else to come in and do the work. We do the work ourselves, and I'm really proud of that.
Pastor Corey Brooks, the New Beginnings Church founder, and those with him, walking the walk, doing the job. They're the ones to be praised and lifted up. They're the ones who should be getting corporate donations and funding instead of money dumped into Black Lives Matter just because they're being extorted. We'll take a break when we come back. You, a Trump supporter and you're black, you will be banned.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.